Hi, this has been a 007, back with another 10-minute spoiler-free movie review. Today of a decidedly arthouse film called Leviathan, which is a Russian film, hugely critically acclaimed and a very tough watch, but certainly worth your time. It comes in a long tradition of cinema history, which is full of tales of simple men who dash themselves against the rocks of misfortune. They're impotent in the face of corrupt authority and arbitrary fate. And I think most recently this has been shown in the films of the Coen brothers, who seem to flip-flop between these sort of goofball comedies and very, very depressing, weighty movies such as A Serious Man and Inside Llewyn Davis. And in these films, what they do is sort of cast themselves as the inscrutable god of the Book of Job and just take a normal, decent guy and just absolutely run him through the mill. And I have to say that I have found those films incredibly tough to watch. They feel to me sadistic, and maybe it's the snide humour that puts me outside of the situation, so it feels, or I feel maybe guilty at laughing at the person rather than sympathising with him. But that's in no way the case with Leviathan, which basically has exactly the same source material, which is the Book of Job. In Leviathan, I think we feel more sympathy and more anger on behalf of the main character, partly because there isn't that snide humour. I mean, there is a soft humour, some scenes are very funny, but we're very much situated with the family that's being oppressed. And secondly, maybe because the context in which Leviathan has been made is very urgent. This is a film set in contemporary Russia, the Russia of Vladimir Putin, of oligarchs, kleptocrats, in which the rule of law is but a figment of someone's imagination. And while we may be aware of the situation from news reports or reading articles in The Economist, I think it can feel very abstract to those of us in the West who don't maybe have a familiarity with that country. And yet here, for the first time, we've got a filmmaker taking us to a very simple house in, not in Moscow or St. Petersburg, but in the very northern tip of Russia on the Barents Sea. And he's showing us the impact of this kleptocracy. And I think that's deeply affecting and incredibly urgent. And I think it's the reason why this film has featured in many critics' best of 2014 lists. But anyway, let's get to the actual content of the movie. It opens on the coast of the Barents Sea, which is the sort of Norwegian-Russian border. This feeling of isolation, being in the middle of nowhere, and that the colour palette of this film is always sort of blue and grey and misty. It's never full sunlight. It's always oppressive. And our serious man, to use the Coen brothers' term, is a mechanic called Kolya. He lives on the seashore in a house he's built himself with his wife Lilia and his son Roma. And the corrupt, venal mayor of the town, Vadim, wants his house. He wants to bulldoze it. And we're not entirely sure why, obsessed with getting this parcel of land. And Kolya rather naively thinks he can turn to the law to prosecute his claim. So as the movie opens, we see him driving to the train station to pick up his old army friend, Dmitry, who is, you know, a slightly more suave Moscow lawyer now, and he's going to go up against Vadim. There is no innocent, law-abiding way to do this. You know, Vadim's plot is essentially one of blackmail. It's not one of keeping the house. It's one of saying, pay me off 3.5 million rubles, and I will suppress certain information I know about your shady past. So this tangle of corruption does not end. The corruption of society is shown by means subtle and crude. I mean, I think some of the most subtle means are in the way the film is framed and in the way law is depicted. So, for instance, there's a scene very near the start of the movie and one near the end where a court magistrate just reads out a summary of the case. And she does so at incredibly fast speed, as if you literally cannot take a breath or get a word in your defence into that argument. And there's a sort of a very austere tableau frame of that scene, and the camera just slowly pushes in on her as she's reeling off this list of legalese, and that's repeated at the end, and it's very powerful. The other very interesting scene is the first time that the lawyer Dmitry meets the corrupt mayor Vadim in his office, and top left you have a portrait of Vladimir Putin, middle center you have Vadim, and bottom you have the supplicant Dmitry. And it's very clear that the filmmaker's trying to show a flow of corrupt power from Putin down to the oppressed people at the bottom of the frame. So I think that's very daring and very interesting. It gets a lot more unsubtle, though, in one of the funniest scenes of the film. The old hunting buddies all go out to do some rifle practice, and they're sort of, you know, shooting bottles on a ledge in Twin Peaks style. And then the best friend of Collier comes up with an AK-47. He's like, I don't care, I can shoot bottles however I like on my birthday. And then he replaces the bottles with portraits of old Soviet leaders. So they're literally taking aim at the corrupt officials of the past. What's really fascinating about that scene is that he stops short at the most recent leaders. And he says it's because they don't yet have historical context, but I do wonder whether it's the filmmakers maybe stopping one level short of literally shooting a portrait of Putin in the face in a movie. As we move into the second half of the film, the corruption of society is shown to seep into the family unit itself. And I don't want to say too much because I think that would ruin the very surprising way in which the film turns, always about this man and how he's trying to maneuver himself through the legal system, but about treachery and betrayal and how it's all around. It's absolutely amazing to watch. But what I would say, and I don't think it is a spoiler, is that when we get into the final half hour of this 2.5 hour film, Collier finally directly confronts God through sitting drunk on a beach, saying, why me? Why this? But also in a very telling conversation with a Russian Orthodox priest, who basically preaches acceptance, resignation in this earthly life, but always with an angle. The most powerful scene, I think, of this whole film is actually the final one, which takes place in a Russian Orthodox church. And you have this Russian Orthodox priest clothed in the garb of power and influence, telling these poor people, you know, the church means truth, Christ's life means truth, and we've just been through this 2-hour trek of a movie, seeing that that is not the case. And then the final scene, you have these very expensive Western cars, you know, the Audis and the BMWs all rolling down the road, and it's just an absolutely damning indictment of the state of modern Russian politics and society. Incredibly well acted, incredibly technically accomplished, and very, very important. What's fascinating about this film is it's part of the surreality, I guess, of modern Russian society is that it has actually been chosen as the official Russian language entry to the Oscar race. So make of that what you will. Maybe Putin's regime feels that they're strong enough to take this little mosquito bite of criticism. But certainly we should be very pleased that it's gotten through. At any rate, I think Leviathan is one of the best films of, 2015 now, as I've watched it this year. Deserves all the plaudits it can get. It's a tough watch, Russian subtitled, a long film, very austere and bleak, but I promise you it's really worth the effort. If you've seen Leviathan and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment at the blog, bina007.com. Otherwise, release information after the outro music. Leviathan has a running time of 140 minutes and is rated R. The movie played Cannes, Toronto, Telluride and London 2014 and was released last year in France, Belgium, Hungary, the Netherlands, Poland, Malta and Serbia. It's currently on very limited theatrical release in the UK and USA, but is also available on some streaming services. It will be released in Denmark on January the 6th, in Turkey on January the 16th, in Norway on January the 23rd, in Russia, interestingly, on February the 5th, in Greece on February the 12th, in Germany on March 12th, and in Sweden on March 13th. Oleg Nergin and Andrei Zviagintsev won Best Screenplay at Cannes 2014. The film also won the Best Film at London 2014. It's the official Russian nomination for the Academy Awards and has already received a Golden Globe nomination for Best Foreign Language Film. Thank you for listening.